It's time for What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
Jacinda Ardern, good morning to you. Good Monday morning to you.
Well, it's our regular spot.
I know.
Differently.
Oh. Hey, I just want to say first off the bat, condolences and sympathies for your grandma.
Thank you.
That must have been a really hard thing to deal with amongst the other hard things to deal with.
Yeah, it was. It just reminds you of all the important stuff. Yeah. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, really, really sad she didn't make it for the election, because I know that she would have wanted to be around for that. So, yeah, but thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, I just want to say off the bat, regardless what happens, and we are still, we're still thoroughly in limbo at the moment, I want to congratulate you and the Labour, you and the Labour Party for, A, the short lead-up you had after. Firstly, let's work it back. Let's say a tip of the hat and a round of applause to Andrew Little for being for doing the right thing at the right time. There's a lot of more well-respected people would have done a lot less. And I think he did a great job. And then, like I say, he had a very short lead up. The party did everything it could to get the votes in, you know. And I think and the one thing I think you can be really proud of, Jacinda, this is my personal opinion, is you didn't muckrake. You know, I'm all about relentlessly positive. I think that was really cool. And you know, to sit there in that last leaders debate and watch Bill English, the not even elected prime minister of the country, look down the camera and just lie. Really disgusting.
It was pretty frustrating, wasn't it?
and you know, the Labour Party did not, you didn't no personal attacks,
no
makeup stuff. You just worked it, and I think you should be really, really, really proud of that. And I, you know, like I said up here at BFM on the night, you know, it's nice to think that there's a politician or a group of politicians I can point my son at, my little boy, and go, see, politicians are cool, and they don't, you know, they only, and to be an inspiration as opposed to the disgusting behaviour of Stephen Joyce and Bill English and all that sort of stuff. You know, that really personally means a lot to me as a New Zealander, you know, that you guys ran that campaign. I think it's really important. And I think you should be really proud of that. You know.
Thank you, Mikey. Yeah, because it was really frustrating. And the thing that you don't want to think has happened is you don't want to think that kind of thing works. And I guess, you know, having seen after the $11 billion hole and having that thoroughly proven to be wrong, to still have 30% of New Zealanders come away thinking it was true, was really frustrating. So
It's the woman's magazine paradox, isn't it? If your woman's day or something like that will allude to something like Jacinda's secret twin delight or something like that. It's because you bought like two chairs or something like that, but they make it sound like but that'll be sitting in a doctor's office for months and months and months, and people will just be skim reading it, and they'll just take on board what they want, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's discouraging. I think as a voter, you go, oh, did nobody look into that enough? You know, there's all these different things that the government were tripping up on at the end there, but they just, you know, running a campaign where they just make stuff up is so Crosby Texter. Oh.
It's very cross-cutting, because I think, you know, most New Zealanders, I think, probably don't like negative campaigning. They don't like that kind of style. But the sad thing is that some political parties use it because they know it works. People don't like it, but it still works. And so I still stand by the fact that we didn't do that, except, you know, probably my most negative point was just a batting back against some of the stuff that was coming our way. But I still stand by just sticking to our guns and running a campaign we could feel good about. And now here we are, and we're still, you know, in a little bit of limbo land. So we'll have to wait and see.
Now one thing that must be a positive to come out of what happened on Saturday, what's happened so far, still with 384,000 special votes to count. And a bit of tweaking, and of course the Galapagos tortoise himself deciding what direction the country's going to go in. How do you feel about? I mean, the Labour Party itself must to know at last how many people do support where you're going and your policies.
Yeah,
because
that's
been unclear for a long time, hasn't it?
Yes, well, for at least can you have polling data and you kind of have things that suggest where you're at? But that vote on Saturday demonstrated, I think, if you take collectively, New Zealand First, the Greens and Labor, that the majority of New Zealanders voted against the status quo. So actually we want something different to where we are right now. And now it's up to us to see whether or not we can turn that into a stable government. And so that's something that we have to see shake down. But you're right, when there's 15% of the vote left to count, we can't quite say that we know exactly where New Zealanders put their trust or put their requests or their bid in. So we have to, you know, wait for those numbers to come in before anything firms up as well.
Do you feel like
a lot of votes?
Do you feel like with the huge turnouts that you personally got when you were visiting universities and some of the more established sort of young voter areas of the country, do you think a lot of those people who turned up, do you think all those people who turned up voted?
Yeah, I would canvass them sometime and just ask them, and a whole lot of it, even just the site, I know it's pretty crude analysis of the number of I voted stickers when I was talking to people. Mm. I do think, because just so people know, the special votes, when people voted outside of their own area or voted overseas or voted, went in and voted and had to enrol at the same time as when they voted. So a high number of special votes this time relative to certainly last time. I think there'll be a lot of people who enrolled and voted at the same time. So I suspect a good chunk of that will be campus vote. Mm.
And do you think that Bill English was a little presumptuous with his victory, so to speak?
He was certainly confident. He was certainly confident. And I don't know if he got the majority of the largest portion of the vote on the night. Certainly I would have expected a celebratory tone. But I think in MMP you have to exercise some caution. Yeah.
Is there anything that you regret? Do you think your turnaround on tax was a decisive point for many potential voters, Labour voters?
And in part, you know, I think actually most Labour voters didn't mind where we were heading on that. I think there might have been some swing voters who wanted some certainty there, and I still stand by that certainty as being the right thing to do. I think someone even polled it and found that most people thought that was probably the right thing to do. But what I knew was happening at the same time was less people's nervousness about CGT and more that they were hearing. They thought we were going to increase income tax, which of course we never were. In fact, I ruled out right from the start that we would have any increase in income tax, but National persisted with that rumour. Even until the day before the election, telling people we were going to increase people's income tax and that interest rates would go up under Labor as well, which was completely false and really unfair. Of course, the Federal Reserve has much more of a say over what happens to New Zealand's interest rates than anyone. They were trying to claim that we would increase debt and therefore our interest rates would go up. Well, National borrowed more money than Muldoon and our interest rates have stayed pretty static. So, again, right to the end, really trying to scare people, and that was frustrating.
Congratulations on taking the Māori seats. That's a good win for Labor, and I guess a sad turn of events for the Māori Party, but reflective, I guess, of what the electorate's thought of their period with National. Can you assure those former Māori Party, well, those Māori Party voters, that the stewardship of the Māori seats will be safe and sound under Labor?
Absolutely. So, yes, those two last seats, the two last seats, one seat which brought in two MPs, having that come back to Labor, that was hard fought by Tamati Coffey. And I think ultimately, as much as people see the loss of a party, I think voters were just voting for the candidate that they wanted in that seat. And Tamati ran a really strong campaign there. Absolutely, we'll be focused on the issues that we campaigned on in those seats, that people want us to see gains made on housing and unemployment and healthcare, and those will be top of our mind.
And now, of course, the question that you're going to have to be dealing with for the next however long he decides it's going to be, the coalition. What's it going to be? I mean, if it's like I said before, it's we're by no means certain of what's going to happen. Winston Peters is the kingmaker again, and there's talk this morning of the Greens maybe, you know, potentially entertaining the idea of a coalition with National? Yeah, surely that's
no,
surely
no.
That's, come
on, I've ruled that out.
Okay. Well, so how will it work? What will it depend on? And what happens if it doesn't go your way or Labor's way?
Yeah. Well, as I said on election night, regardless of the position we end up in, we will continue to work with any party who shares the goals that we have, particularly around housing, reducing child poverty, and lifting our environmental game. We'll work with any party who wants to work with us on those issues. Of course, in an MMP environment, we've got an obligation to try and make what the voters delivered us work, and we'll keep doing that. There'll be a couple of steps in the process, one waiting for all the voters' votes to be counted, and then just to keep having those conversations.
What is it about New Zealand First that is going to make a coalition? What are the key points that you're going to have to nut out with Winston Peters if he does decide that it's a Labor Greens coalition?
Oh, I've always said that there are areas where we do have some common ground. You know, they've got a position; they wanted to make university more accessible as well. Want to bring back rail. Want to increase forestry. You know, a big drive for us on that is climate change, and theirs is an important focus. Their focus on regional economic development, similar views around super. There is some common ground there, but that's something for them to work through too. But like I say, I think that there's
not really common ground on the Māori seats, though, eh?
Oh, no. And I've been clear on that. That's not a fair view on that. It's not a view we share. but I think, it's only fair they're saying they want a bit of time. I understand that. I understand that Winston Peters is up in Whirinaki at the moment and probably wanting to see what those 15% of the votes that are left to count say. And that's fair too.
I mean, he's portrayed as sitting there just fishing, just sort of smugly chuckling away to himself, having a sneaky ciggy and a whiskey. That's how we sort of imagine him, but he's probably stressing out, isn't he?
I think that he'll be giving this real consideration.
One would hope so.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that'll be the case. Yep.
Now, let's look at the two scenarios. Scenario number one. Hey, look at that, it's Labor Greens, New Zealand First. Da, da, da. Woohoo! And you're the Prime Minister, and then you're off, and it's hard work for the rest of your life. And there'll be no weekend off. And is the party ready for that? You're ready for that? If that's eventuates, of course you are. Let's do this. As my brother texted out at 11 o'clock on Friday night, come on, New Zealand, let's do this!
Absolutely, yep.
And the other alternative, it swings the other way, and we end up with the alternative result, which is a National New Zealand First government. I guess the listen to my optimism just gushing out. The one positive thing out of that is you've got some stuff you can really dig into them about straight away, haven't you? Mm. Come on, where's that 50,000 people out of poverty? Come on.
Yeah, we got some concessions during that election campaign. That is definitely true. I just would have liked to have had them a little bit earlier, like in the last 9 years.
I think congratulations on that comment. You've only just thought about poverty in the last week. That was a beauty. And this is the thing that astounded me over the last couple of weeks. To say for Bill English to say something like, we'll get 50,000 kids out of poverty, blah, 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 blah. It's an astounding attitude towards the issue, I think.
Yeah. And again, I didn't want to be too critical of it, given I've been pushing for it for probably about 6 years.
Yeah.
But it was a bit late. No, it was a bit late in the piece. And I don't know. My viewers will probably got a sense of what the kind of government they were going to be from the last nine, and we'll see whether or not they have the opportunity to be the same again. But we're not quite there yet.
We're nowhere near.
A few things that need to be sorted through, and so I don't think anyone should assume anything at this point.
Okay, so as voters, as New Zealanders, as citizens of this beautiful country of ours, when do you think when are we going to start getting some action here? When are we going to know start getting an idea of where it's all going to go?
I would have thought that that there's a likelihood.
Flick us a text, would you, Jacinda?
That will be waiting till after the special votes come in. So I predict, but I'm sure all of us will be working to try and resolve this as quickly as possible.
Awesome. Hey, Jacinda, congratulations on getting to this point. And the hard work that you and the Labor Party put in to repair a pretty hefty divot. And like I say, who knows where it goes from here on, but at least we know how many New Zealanders think one way and how many New Zealanders think the other.
That's right. We do. So I'll speak to you again next week.
Here's a question, Justin. I know you probably want to go back to bed. Hey, why not a Labor National Coalition, the texter just sent in?
I think the campaign probably proves that there's too many things we disagree on.
Hey, Jacinda, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us. Speak to you again this time next week. Well done.
Take care. Bye.
That was What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
95BFM have teamed up with Be Employed to offer a 16-week paid internship for somebody with access needs. You'll be able to gain impressive experience in production, sales, journalism, and all kinds of other good stuff here at BFM. Access needs cover everything from mobility to mental health to a hearing or vision impairment. So head to beaccessible.org.nz and click on Be Employed to find out more and to apply for this or other exciting internship opportunities. Eligibility criteria apply.
Laneway 2018 has it all. Sun, shade, grass, old statues, and the best bands in the world. With the likes of Slowdive, Conan Moccasin, The Internet, and Aldous Harding. You don't want to miss out. Buy your tickets now for St. Jerome's Laneway Festival 2018. Auckland Anniversary Day, January 29th, at the lush and lovely Albert Park Precinct. For tickets and more information, go to lanewayfestival.com.
You love music, right?
Yes, yes I do.
Then drive your stake into the musical landscape by voting for the 95BFM Top 10.
But how?
Text the word VOTE and your chosen band's name to 53955 or vote online at 95bfm.com/top10 before 6pm every Wednesday. Then join Pearl from 7pm as she starts counting them down. The 95BFM Top 10 with your host Pearl, Wednesday night 7 till 9 and always online at 95bfm.com.
At this radio station, we do our utmost to abide by the Broadcasting Standards Authority and their rules and guidelines. If you seriously think we've crossed the line on air, give us a call on 309 4831 within 20 working days of the broadcast date and tell us about it. We'll be able to help you out and tell you the procedure if you wish to make a formal complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. Fuck knuckles, cock and piss. Balls. Thank you.
BFM News Headlines.
Good morning. Coming up in the news at 9 o'clock, the Council of Trade Unions calls on the government to fix New Zealand's low growth. Bill English says it could take several weeks to negotiate a deal with New Zealand First to form a government. Bali declares a natural disaster as Mount Agung volcano looks set to erupt, and more than 600,000 Londoners sign a petition to save Uber. The Stories Plus weather and surf coming up at 9.
That bizarre! I'm a huge Uber fan. I'm a Uber fan. And do you Uber, Johnny? You Uber? Do you Uber?
Yeah.
I saw your arms crossed there. Your body language suggested perhaps you didn't Uber. You do Uber. You're an Uber.
But yes. They're not good. They're bad, bad people.
Are they full of evil? Are you saying that they like it's some sort of Batman villains?
It's a bad company. It's a pretty bad company.
What, worse than co-op taxis?
Yes.
Really?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm just pointing. Hey, look, I've got no problem with the co-op taxis, apart from giving you so much money for such average service for so long.
As far as I know, co-op just overcharges you. I think Uber treats their workers badly. They don't do background checks. In London, the reason they've got in trouble is because they tried to hide a sexual assault.
We have the sexual assault. Yeah,
and so. That's before you even get onto the guy that got fired and all his mates who got fired.
How is that different from any other major company in the whole wide world?
Well, if that
you
stuff
tell,
comes
you tell
to
me
light,
that, yeah,
so, if
that yeah.
stuff, so if that stuff comes to
you'd
light,
you stop drinking Coca-Cola. I probably don't drink. Uncross your arms, body language, people. Both you guys sitting there.
They're bad guys.
You know what? I'm obsessed with every time I catch an Uber, talking to them about what it's like to work for Uber, and they love it. Every single one of them I've spoken to here. What about
flexible working.
Hey, that is wonderful, flexible working. I had one guy who picked me up from here. One guy picked me up from going to Onehunga. He picked me up from here and took me through the Waterview Tunnel. And I was like, and he lied about there being a crash. So, you know, I just one starred him, boom, and asked my money back, and they sent it back. I'm happy with that. That's the one problem I've ever had with them. But like I say, so I talked to all of them about it, and one guy picks me up, and he's like, oh, hey, I know you. I won't do the accent because that'll get me in trouble. But then he said, are you still doing that TV show with your mate? And I was like, yeah. Said, oh, no, don't do that anymore. But yeah, it was cool fun. Yeah. And he's asking me all these questions. I was like, oh, yeah. Da-da. And I really used to love watching that. Then when we got to my place, he goes, it's sweet if I jump out and get a selfie. And I'm like, yeah, man, sure. I was just gently chuffed, you know. He comes up, puts his arm around me, holds his phone up, goes, oh, I'm going to post this on Facebook. Me and Mark Ellis. Woo! I was too chuffed to say anything. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, cool, man. And so he's going to post it up there, like, me and Mark Ellis. It's like his sister's going to, okay, that's not Mark Ellis, you dick. That's a guy off the radio. I could see how he'd mistake me for a international athlete, though.
Look upon me. You who reflect upon me.
I was fascinated by this, trying to find out Johnny, this artist, DOS, what DOS was. I was going, wow, what does this mean? Turns out to be Daniel O'Sullivan. You're listening to BFM, everyone. Yay! Someone's texting me saying, not good enough, Mikey. Please be more constructive with your criticism, texter. I don't know what you're talking about. Please specify, or do you just mean in general everything?
For I am the first and the last. I am the silence that is incomprehensible and the idea.
And just so we're clear, I'm not saying that because every other company in the world has that's happened to, I'm just saying that, you know. Okay? In fact, I think in any situation, if you are jumping to conclusions about the sort of person I am, before you do that, I'd like you just perhaps maybe just review the last 18, 20 years of broadcasting I've done, and then once you've done all that, then you can decide, okay? Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I see quality. Yeah, something. Yeah, sure. How about the fact that Uber are a huge multinational company who operate offshore and pay no tax in New Zealand? That does fuck me right off. What are you doing, Johnny?
You're
sort of loosening your shirt and just wriggling around, just getting to the vibe of it, man. You go for it, man. If the music's doing it to you, you go, brother. I just wish I could show the listeners what's happening there. It's like you're possessed. It's like you've lost control, Johnny. Dancing to a different drummer. Coming out of his trance just for a second, Johnny's reminding me I haven't played my Make Mine a Metal Memory Monday Metal Memory this morning. That's coming up right after the song.
shape and I am fear. I am war and peace. Give heed to me. I am the one who is disgraced and the great one. But I am she who exists in all fears and strength and trembling. I am she who is weak, and I am well in a pleasant place.
What's that sound?
Make mine a Metal Memory Monday, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
Mike Havoc Breakfast, thanks to Burger Fuel.